Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Saturday, May 21st, 2016, day after Wanpra, day after Visakha Puja. So, just reflecting on the Buddha's life and the Buddha's example. And sometimes I like to think of the Buddha in terms of giving rise to a sense of inspiration. In order to brighten the mind or bring joy to the mind. So, sense of inspiration, just thinking of the example of the Buddha from the Buddha's life in terms of the going forth up until the Buddha to be, the Prince Siddhartha, undergoing austerities and eventually sitting under the Bodhi tree and realizing enlightenment. And it can sound like a myth or a story. All sorts of essays have been written about how the Buddha, the life story of the Buddha, is completely allegorical and the Buddha didn't really exist. But like Lungpa Sumedho said, even if all of Buddhism was made up by some drunk guy in a bar in Poland somewhere, is somehow it works. Even if some guy said, "Okay, I'm going to make a religion," and just in a some sort of weird, random, but somehow it all came together, drunken rant, then it all comes together, and that's how the suttas got written. Then it works, so it doesn't matter. So reflecting on the life of the Buddha and how it was such a long time ago, or 2,560 years ago or so, that the Buddha attained enlightenment. And so with all the great disciples of the Buddha and how over time up till the present, how the Dhamma or the Satchatama, the true Dhamma, the teaching that leads to liberation, the true teaching that is unmistakable, like the unmistaken path, how somehow it's made it to the present day by some miracle or stroke of luck, because at various times in history, having just hung by a precarious thread, but then great monks, great beings over history upholding it, passing it on down to the present day. And times in history when it was all but gone. Buddhism is all but gone, and we wouldn't be monks, we wouldn't have monasteries, we wouldn't have any of what we have today if it wasn't for those great beings of the past who just kept it going, relinquished their personal preferences, relinquished desires, followed the Buddha's teachings, actually followed the teachings. From the time of the Buddha up to the present day, there's been people who have done something radical and actually followed the teachings. And so we have something. We still have beings like Lungpa Cha who practiced the Dhamma in a pure way. who kept the Vinaya in a pure way. So that's inspiring. But it's only inspiring if we think we can do it as well. It's like thinking about anicca, impermanence. We keep things going. We sustain things for a while. Things always change. Things always pass away. So it's like our relationships, our living situation. It always changes. Our life, it always changes. So our state of mind always changes. And the people who we're living with always change. And there's a saying in Thai, ma ruam pu yak. It's like you come together, and having come together, it means that you're going to separate. Having been born, it means you're going to die. That's the truth of anicca. Everything the Buddha's pointing towards is coming back to that, coming back to seeing anicchang, seeing it in everything, till the mind, the heart, just starts to loosen its grip on all of its petty desires and fantasies and plans. So anicchang is just, you're just chipping away at the delusion or the sense of self, or you're slowly, you could say slowly brightening the mind. Every dark spot, every dim spot, it's just slowly going around and brightening by using a nichung. So like Lungpa Chao also thought of as like uncertainty. So it can be impermanence or inconstancy, change, but it can also be uncertainty. So even we might think something is going to happen for certain, and then Lungpa Chao would say, no, it's still uncertain. So it's like that contemplation of impermanence and uncertainty is leading to letting go. So like anything we're holding on to is just going to change. So it's a simple, easy, seemingly obvious truth, and then somehow deep inside, the heart still doesn't see it, so we still aren't able to let go. It's like everything without exception, like the way we view ourselves is anicchang, the way we view others is anicchang, the way others view us is anicchang, the way others view themselves is anicchang. It's the same for everybody. So, and it's just always changing. We're always shifting and adjusting. So if we're happy, it's anicchang. If we're suffering, it's anicchang. Things are neutral, it's anicchang. So it's like leading to cooling, leading to peace. It's almost really nothing else to say. I mean, the Buddha gave really short teachings in the suttas. He would just say, monks, all things are impermanent, and go back to his kuti. Or is the Buddha's final words, he's just saying, all things are impermanent, strive on with diligence. And just imagining coming from the Buddha, being such a powerful statement. All things are impermanent, all things are uncertain, mental, physical, no exceptions. And then strive on with diligence. Strive on to see that. So why do we even practice? Why do we even take on all these precepts and this lifestyle? And why do we have faith that we've met up with Kurpa Ajahns and people who have really internalized that teaching and realized impermanence? That's like the heart of the Buddha's teaching. Arising and passing away, that's a Nichung. So like the Buddha taught a very specific arising and passing away. He taught how suffering arises and passes away. That's the Four Noble Truths. There is suffering, there's a cause of suffering. There's a cessation of suffering, path leading to the cessation of suffering. And that's the very basic teaching of the arising and passing away of suffering. So how it happens, the process. There was some Kurpa Ajahn, I can't remember their name. There's all these little known Ajahn Mun disciples and Ajahn Sao disciples, even Lungpur Cha disciples, who not many people have heard of. And some of them would give some pretty classic Dhamma talks. Some of them would not like to give Dhamma talks that often, but when they did, it would kind of be like one Ajahn was asked to give a talk to a large group of people one time. And he's just like, his whole talk was just, he just said over and over again, he just said, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And he just said that for like 10 minutes. And then he just started laughing. That was his whole talk. It's pretty basic. Happy, sad, happy, sad, happy, sad, happy, sad. It's our life. Happy, ecstatic, up, sad, down, disappointed, dejected. Then happy, joy comes up. Then disappointed, bored, restless, scattered. Then collected, happy, samadhi, joy, concentration. Then sad, anger, dejection, depression. Then up, happy, joy. It's just up and down, up and down. So instead of getting swept away by what we're experiencing, then coming back to peace, which is the reflection on anicchang. So it's like a stepping back. That's what the Buddha called nibbida. Nibbida is like a stepping back from the world. So it's like a stepping back. Or Ajahn Sachitto would refer to it as like a leaning back. A leaning back from the ups and downs. So we lean back into peace, lean back into viewing things through the lens of anicchang. So then when we're happy, we're up, we're joyful. Okay, well, let's not get swept away by that. It's just, yeah, it's great, but it's anicchang. It's not to make ourselves go down or make ourselves sad, but it's just kind of like, okay, oh yeah, I know that. That's happened before. And down, low energy, upset, been criticized, something unpleasant happens, we lean back into a nichang, and there's that. That's unpleasant feeling, unpleasant sensation. We see that. Okay, well that's a nichang that is coming back to that one truth of a nichang. Seeing everything through that. And eventually we apply it to life and death. Like Lumbar Cha said, like, life is happiness, death is sadness. So eventually those, all those ups and downs, we apply it to life and death in the end, and seeing it as a nichan. So that can give rise to a sense of inspiration. We can always lean back into that. We can always do that. We can always know these things for what they are. So the Buddha and the whole line of great beings, arahants, Kruba Ajahns, over the centuries, over the millennia, giving us inspiration that we can actually do that, that we can have nibbida, that it's possible to know the ups and downs and not get swept away by them. And it's just that basic, seemingly boring, uncomplicated way of practicing, where we can always at least temporarily slip out of samsara and take a look through Dhamma, through the knowing, into the ups and downs. It's the example the Buddha's giving us with his life. So that's about all I have to say this evening. Just a few thoughts, hopefully helpful. I'll leave it there.
Sadhu, 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 sadhu.